is up, Splash Damage Nation. I am your host, John, and I am back. And today with me, I have Andrew.
What up?
And I have Nathan.
Yo, we're a nation now.
We are.
All right.
I'm projecting. Woo, coming out the gate real bad.
We don't often record early in the morning, yeah, so this is going to be a good one.
We're a nation now.
We need a flag. I don't know what to do. We need like a national animal. I don't know. Thomas is not here. We are missing Thomas, but I suspect that Thomas is not here because I have a reckoning coming.
I have a reckoning coming.
The reckoning is not happening until Thomas is here. So this podcast episode is going to be about 25 minutes shorter because I had so much sauce.
We're gonna need a John reaction episode. Yeah, so John was out the last couple of months and apparently wants some space to respond to some things.
Listen,
and
counseling. They're gonna go to counseling.
Yeah, yeah. Andrew and I will moderate.
It just kept getting more ridiculous as the episode went on, and then it turned into like personal shots. And I was like, it's just because I'm not there. And Philip, you and I know you're listening to this. You're going to get it, too. Even if you're here or you're not, you're going to get it, too. You're going to come in here and say that crap about Hades while I'm not around. That's fine.
That's fine. Yeah, he came at you during Hades, but that whole time I was like, I'm the one that said to play Hades. I don't know why this ended up. It ended up with John hate, I'm the one played it because I said to play it.
Hang on. What is your reaction to my Microsoft Sony take?
Dude, we're going to bundle it all up. Dude, you're my girl.
I am curious. I was like, dude, I crafted that question. I was like, John needs to be in the room for this.
Listen, the response, well, the response section, I guess, which will be an episode, I don't know, is going to be called How Dare You, Sir.
How Dare You, Sir. So John is talking about our hot takes episode that Andrew did that he wasn't here for, but became the, he got dinged. We dinged John a few times.
Just kept getting dinged. Like, I expected it a little bit, and I was like, that's fine. It is what it is, but then it just kept, and then it felt aggressive, and as soon as Thomas said something about trophies, I was like, this is like they got together the night before, and they just chopped down everything that I loved all in a row. It was ridiculous.
What we have to do hot takes. Hey, what are the things that John loves? Okay, that's
it was just like, oh my God, trophies sucks. Retro video games sucks. Like, Sony sucks. It's like, God dang, Hades sucks. I was like, all right. So anyways, this month.
It's like screaming in a box, but your mouth has tape on it.
You wanted to
scream back at the podcast.
So I listened to that episode at like 5:20 in the morning on the way to work.
How angry were you?
And
you were
I was punching the dash. I was getting my ass kicked.
You didn't need coffee.
Like 5:20
in the
morning.
You did not need coffee that morning.
It felt like it was ridiculous. I showed up to work and like everybody's like,
"What's
wrong with
you?"
I just got in a bar fight.
Yeah,
like just got my ass kicked.
Yeah, that episode. You know how people have the workout mix and you have your hype song right when you get the most tired, and there's like a Nike on the Nike app, there's a button, you hit your like hype song and it comes right on, and for you it's gonna be us blasting you on the podcast.
It's just getting us kicked in the I just got kicked in the balls. So anyways, look out for that. We'll be going over that here in the future once Thomas joins us again. But anyways, this month we're going to be doing an episode called Get Off My Lawn, and I just really want to sit down and talk about a few things regarding games and gaming as a generality back then versus now and how things are different. So we're going to take a look at three different topics. We're going to talk about hardware, we're going to talk about software, and we're going to talk about general hype and how games deliver on hype and how you get hyped about a new game or a new console compared to how it used to be. Mm-hmm. But to get started, we have a friendly fire question. The friendly fire question is, name something that is now definitively better than it was back then. Because most of the episode is just going to be me and us talking about how things were better back then. But what is something that is definitively better now to you guys?
I mean, everything with this technology of gaming, like everything's improved over time.
Okay.
And I know there are certain aspects that the retro crowd would say they still have the, you know, they still have the best of what, you sure, know, there's certain sure. aspects. I'll just take the easy one and say load times.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Great
load times are one of the reasons that we have our, like, those super high difficulty games right now are actually playable to me because of the instantaneous load times.
Huge.
So think of, like, Celeste that yeah. we played on the podcast. Think of, like, Super Meat Boy. Think of, like...
Hang on. You're talking about coming back immediately after you die?
Yeah. I guess it's not a load time. It's just a mechanic. It's yeah. just like a game okay. mechanic sure. of the ability to do that. But also in general load screens.
Yeah.
I mean...
Totally.
As I've been playing... I'm playing Forbidden West right now, and I read that Gorilla... like intentionally elongated the load screens as you fast travel around the map
what?
so they could put the tips and tricks onto yeah. the screen. And guys, the map for Forbidden West is huge, and I can go fast travel from one end to the other end to the middle, and the load times are it's unreal. Yeah. I mean, it's unreal.
Yeah.
And so what now they do, they give you that tip screen that you normally get on a loading screen.
Okay.
But then there's a button to just like skip it if you just want to skip it. But that's probably mine. I mean, maybe an easy answer.
No,
but,
no. That's a great answer because it's just, I mean, as games got bigger, there was, you know, we're catching up to how much data and how many assets yeah. are pushed and
yeah, yeah.
being able to handle that. Andrew, what do you got?
Dude,
what do you want to say?
I'm gonna if that wasn't part of your answer, Nathan, I'm gonna say coming back immediately after you die.
Yeah, because yeah, take
dude,
it. Yeah.
Dude, I remember Super Meat Boy, I think was the first game I had that did it. And it's just like and Celeste, obviously. Mm. But that just like immediately coming back, like it's such a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah.
If you can do it, do it.
Do yeah, it. Like, yeah. And it's like Super Mario Brothers, you think of like burnt. You know, like everything, all those games, like it was such an obvious thing
yeah.
that's like has been objectively improved and made sure. better. Since Nathan kind of already covered that, I'll also say like just the
yeah, I gave like four answers. I'm sorry, but I gave
this is good. This
so
is,
I also want to say
we're doing it loose today, guys.
Yeah,
we're
it's
doing
loose. It's today. Early.
We're real loose.
Yeah, Thomas isn't here to rein us yeah. in.
You're sitting in Thomas's seat right now. It's a good look.
So,
on
well, the
you,
leathery
dude.
The leathery. I was worried the leathery couch was getting picked up on the mic. So,
it always does. Yeah. It's part of the charm.
But another one is cameras.
Okay.
I don't know if y'all have
sure.
played any like 2002 ass PS2 games recently.
Ooh-wee, they are. But
The Getaway.
Yeah.
The Getaway is also like one of the greatest stories in video games with like the shittiest controls in games.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
it was before cameras were standardized, so it was like, oh yeah, of course you like move with the right stick. And anyway, The Getaway, if you want to play a spectacularly bad camera, I'm just thankful. I'm
yeah.
just thankful that cameras, it is. Everybody knows now how you move a character and
yeah.
you move the camera.
You know, mine's hardware-based, too. I was going to say something that, like, definitively is better are controllers are better now.
Yeah.
Like, controllers yeah. are so much more comfortable.
Who signed off on the N64?
Dude, and at the time, you just don't know. Like,
yeah.
you're holding it, and it feels good. It feels like a
yeah.
remote kind of, like, and you get used to it, but, like, controllers now, like, we got to a point where controller evolution stopped being a thing. Like,
yeah.
Microsoft, like, even in the original Xbox, they came out, like, that first one was the Duke. That thing was huge.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The S-type controller is basically the 360 controller.
Yep.
And then
today,
once,
yeah.
yeah, once they
and
made the 360
the PS,
controller.
The PS5 controller is very, very similar to the PS4 controller.
Yeah.
I mean, they're such little difference.
Yeah, and it's like once
they figured it out.
Yeah, yeah, it was like that generation. Like the first controller that PlayStation 1 made, they basically added analog sticks to it.
Yeah.
And they took that to the PlayStation 2 and to the PlayStation 3 and to the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And it's just kind of like we really kind of found what hands are comfortable, and we needed more buttons,
yep.
you know,
because yep.
games
yep.
got more complex.
Yep.
So, like, controllers hands down, and, like, I love all my old weird retro controllers. I love the Dreamcast controller. I love the N64 controller, but the things are, like, they are not good.
Do you love the Joy-Con?
The Joy-Con, well, I mean, it depends. I really like, well, see, again, I like the Switch Pro controller. That thing is super dope, but it feels just like a 360 controller.
That's true.
You know, and with the Joy-Con, I like the Joy-Cons if you put them into the Joy-Con controller
clicker, to make it a real,
but I feel weird just having these two really light things separated. I mean, I guess it's cool if you want to sit back here.
Yeah, but I mean, you still got like the Smash community sticking with the GameCube.
Oh, 100%. Like, and that GameCube controller was the jam. That might be like the best controller Nintendo ever made. Yeah. That thing is unbelievable.
Did you have something particular in mind for like a bad controller?
I mean,
the Joy-Con.
I think about there are certain aspects of controllers, like the Dreamcast analog stick is the worst thing of all time. It's the worst.
Worse than the shape of the 64.
It like rips your thumb. It has like zero. I've tried to like manipulate different like thumb pads from other controllers. People have modded 360 sticks and put it in their Dreamcast controllers.
Oh, yeah.
It's literally just a hard piece of Chinese plastic with ridges on it.
Yeah.
And it just will rip your thumb to death.
Yeah.
And like you go back and you play like the even like the Super Nintendo controller, which is just like a goatee controller.
Yeah.
Dude, it's small. Yeah. Like, you know, and we always back then you would think that games were made for kids and stuff, so the controllers were smaller. And that's pretty much true. And as we've grown up as that generation who first started in, you know, video games, the controllers have become more for adults. But like back then, those controllers were small.
Yeah,
and like some of the Sega Saturn had a very weird 3D controller nights, and it was it's basically a circle, and it's like if you imagine just holding a circle, it sucks. Like it's a circle with
and
six
buttons
on it.
I do think the Joy-Con was ergonomically designed for like children's hands
more
than, and so to your point about the Switch Pro controller, man, I can't get off the Joy-Con right now. Yeah. I'm like obsessed. But like I have been in some moments on my Switch where I'm like, these buttons are like my hands feel like ogres.
Right? Yeah.
Like I feel like an ogre holding a little controller, like
the only
push button.
The
good.
Only thing I'll say about the Joy-Cons is that like when I think about Joy-Cons, I really think about the Switch itself being a controller.
Yeah.
Cause like when you're playing it connected to the Switch, it's a totally different ball game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those buttons still are super small.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. And the oh my god, the R1 and R2 buttons on the the R1 and L1 buttons on the Switch suck.
No. Yeah.
Like I hate it. Like it's garbage. But that being said, you really gotta use those things connected to the Switch, I think.
Are you talking about this bad boy?
That is the Sega Saturn. It's $80, y'all.
Wow.
It's
looks like a CD disc drive.
Dude, you know what they did? They took this and spray painted it white, and they were like, send it out to the Dreamcast controller.
Dreamcast is getting
Dreamcast
that.
Controller.
At least it had some more like palm support in the Dreamcast one. That thing, I have that at my house. That thing is
awesome.
You almost just want to put it on the table and play it from the top like an arcade pad. But, okay, so I guess that can just, we'll take that friendly fire question and we will ramp into get off my lawn, and we'll start with hardware. And that's good because we just got into some of the points that I wanted to talk about. But with hardware, the thing that I love so much about older hardware, and I guess we can each, if you can, find something that's a sticking point to you about older hardware and newer hardware.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I'll kick it off. One of my sticking points, one of the things I hate about new gaming is console variations.
Yeah.
Okay? I very much enjoy, as I have a bunch of old consoles, I like... Yes, there are some different variations in the consoles. Like, you know, the Genesis had a smaller Genesis made. But for the most part, each system was its own thing.
Yeah.
It had its own, like, life cycle. Like, you had a certain chip. There was no Sega Genesis Pro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there
was
not like
the
Sega Genesis S or the Sega Genesis X. All games played off the same internal hardware.
Yeah.
Besides like some cosmetic differences that they made for the systems. I appreciate that so much. Like, I don't like that nowadays it almost feels like we have this ever evolving, you know,
part of that is, and I agree with you. I think part of it is part of it is just marketing. Like, how can we resell this to the same audience?
Sure.
Part of it is the march of technology and the speed that it happens at.
Right.
I think for hardware is changing and getting more robust as time goes on.
Sure.
But as a company, you have to kind of sit there and say, like, okay, is it time to release a new generation?
Yeah.
Like, no, like, we're only 3 years out from this generation,
right.
But we already could make the, you know what I mean? Tough.
Dude, I think we have Sega to blame for the allowance of this bullshit
and
the proliferation of different kinds of consoles.
Because, like, the CD with the 32X and all that shit.
Dude, the 32X, the Sega CD. Like, Sega was the first, because I don't think Nintendo did that. Like,
no.
They didn't do that.
No.
And Sega, it's like, Sega, you're awesome in a lot of ways, but you were the first one to start that bullshit.
I think the only Nintendo upgrade thing I can think of is that RAM pack for the N64. Mm-hmm. Like, you could have, like
not a different console, though.
No, just kind of like a performance upgrade. I kind of...
Yeah.
Dude, I hate the... I just think the Genesis that was all black, you know, is just ugly.
Yeah.
When you think Sega Genesis, in my mind, the circle with the red... like the classic Sega Genesis is the one. Yeah.
My hardware take will be quick. I really miss the ability to quickly and easily get into the guts of the machine.
Yeah. Hmm.
I miss that a lot.
Yeah.
And now I think, so I love, and I'll talk about the PS1 for software too, but I love, like, opening up and seeing the disc tray and, like, seeing the moving parts.
Feels good.
I think in terms of who do you blame, for me, I think Apple kind of led the charge of, like, the no moving parts on the hardware.
Yeah.
Like, they sort of led that industry change, and it made their stuff feel and look more futuristic.
Yeah.
And so I think gaming went into that. Like, we stopped having a tray pop out to collect the disc.
Yeah.
You
don't want a lot of parts that can mechanically fail in your stuff.
I get that. But I do like the ability to get on a YouTube video. I think older generations, it's easier to do a lot of self-repair.
Yeah.
And I think that
And
I think that new generations are... I don't know if it's intentional, but new generations, it's a bit harder to do that. There's a lot more legwork, a lot more pieces.
100%.
And so that's kind of what I miss. I miss the, like, garage guy, the garage console guy who could, like, break it down and repair it and blah, blah, blah.
Another thing, and this is not, like, my software deal, but having these weird variations on consoles now where you kind of, like, have this weird upgrade path, what it does is it has, like, it has killed a lot of the hype for me for a new console generation.
Because
I want each system to have its own life cycle.
Yeah.
And when I think about, for example, the Xbox Series X or the PlayStation 5, the PlayStation 5 has been out for, like, 2 years now.
Yeah.
Right? Okay? And if you look at, some of the lists are different. I tried to look at them. I got a bunch of different answers. But if you look at the top 5 selling PlayStation 5 games since it's been out, 4 of them are PlayStation 4 games.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that.
That's pretty true.
That's garbage. Returnal and Demon's Souls are the only PS5 exclusives that sold, like, super well.
But, John, only, like, 10% of people can get a PS5.
100%. 100%. And
yeah,
I totally understand
too,
that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that being
you're
said...
You're like, I don't give a shit. Y'all buy a PS5.
Maybe people
fuckers.
Would try harder if you had a bigger library. If you stopped putting shit out
maybe
on PlayStation
4. Maybe they would try a little harder.
Yeah.
If you manned up and paid $1,000 for a PS5, you wouldn't be such a peasant.
Look, and it's not even... that it's just like I can't believe that we're 2 years into it and there's like Demon Souls, Ratchet and Clank, and Returnal, and like everything else is on the PS4. And again, that sucks for us because I mean, you're getting like performance bonuses for playing on the PS5. You're not getting like a brand new game that you can only play on that system.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What's the difference?
Well, like a performance is like, well, you know, if you play Elden Ring on a PS5 instead of a PS4, you can play at 60 frames a second or something like that. Like you're just getting little technical advantage from the system and you're not like getting come over and play my PlayStation 5 games.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Games you can only play
Dude, dude, you're
this.
Just, you're a boomer. You're of the past, John. Dude,
okay, boomer.
Dude, it's that's fun. Funny. But I'm just thinking, it's like the PlayStation 4 came out in 2013. It's almost 10 years old. And in technology terms, that thing is a dinosaur.
Yeah.
And Horizon Forbidden West has to play on the... that you're killing me with this shit.
Yeah, that's true.
You're
killing
me with this shit.
You're like, saying you hate the idea of consoles being...
That's been common in other console generations, though. Those the big games that come out have straddled the, I mean, they did it with they did it with PS3 to PS4.
They did, and it sucked off.
It's just a thing, because when you're making this video game, the lead time to make this big AAA title is years.
Yeah,
and you've got to sell as many copies as you can.
Gotta have it.
So you've got to so I see the issue, but it does. You're right. It sucks.
Did they originally intend Last of Us to be earlier in the PS3 cycle? Do you know?
I don't know. I know that the PlayStation 3. I know that the Last
The base PS3s like wouldn't play The Last of Us.
Uh-huh. The Last of Us took the PlayStation 3 to its tippy top. It killed my fat PS3.
Yeah.
And like, you want to talk about loading times? Like, you know, it had like a Grand Theft Auto loading time the beginning. Like, it started the game and like a minute and 45 seconds later, they were like, okay, we're good here.
Yeah.
I have processed this.
You had a chore list to do during the loading.
And the whole time it was like, it was going bananas.
Yeah, the
family. Going crazy. And so, then you get to the PS4 and it goes, it's just like that.
Yeah.
You know,
so what you're saying is, you're saying you hate the idea of an incremental, slightly better 60 FPS, more resolution.
Yeah.
It's like I bought a new toy, I bought a new hardware, I want to play completely different games.
The wow factor is not there. The wow factor is not walking into Toys R Us and a 64 demo unit is there and going, I cannot physically play this shit on Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't get there. And
dude,
like,
and I think, I bought Sega, it's so crazy to look back. I bought a Sega Genesis, and I probably played like 3 games, really, on the Sega Genesis. And I bought a Super Nintendo, and I probably played like two or three games. And then I bought an N64, and I played like 1 or 2 games that I was like really all about.
Yeah.
And it's like, because I didn't know better. I would go to Blockbuster and walk through and see all the games, and I would be like, none of these games appeal to me. There's like one game that I really like.
Yeah.
But I think the idea is like, of just buying hardware. To your point, Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo are completely different beasts.
Sure.
You had
100%.
Completely different games
libraries,
on Sega Genesis
everything.
And Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
And so I guess I can follow what you're saying a little bit, that it's this excitement of like, I'm buying a new toy and I'm playing something completely different.
Yeah, yeah.
Streets of Rage and Golden Axe, loved those games on Genesis and Sonic, and you could only play them on Sega Genesis.
Yep. Yeah.
Zelda, Mario, the other stuff on, you know, everything kind of looked better on the Super Nintendo, but it was like Secret of Mana, you could only play that junk on the Super Nintendo.
There you go.
And so I see what
it's
you're
exciting.
Saying. It's
exciting.
Like, it's exciting, and it's
Andrew loves exclusives.
Dude, I love it. Nah. I love that shit. That kind of stuff gets me
I'm joking about the industry.
Yeah. No, but it is, dude, right, okay, you would think right now there would be less arguing over exclusives. I think the console thing is like something we do because of the way we grew up, like guys in our 30s. But like the console exclusive thing is like, it is such a non-issue compared to
that's
how
true.
It used to be. Dude,
you can play
99%
of the games on whatever
we'll play on whatever you want.
Yeah.
Whereas, dude, Sega Genesis versus Super Nintendo, it was completely different games.
Yeah, it was mayhem.
Totally different libraries. And I guess we can use that to segue into software. My big sticking point with software too is, and also you made a great point that we'll bring the final topic is hype and how you felt about games and stuff like that. Don't let me forget to add on to what you were saying, but to start to get into the software side of things, I love so much that each system used to for games, not only was it that they had their own libraries and you had a reason to like buy that console, you had a different library that you could go into that you only had access to there. That was incredible. But at the same time, I love so much that with each new console, you got a new kind of physical media. And this died the second we started using CDs.
Yeah.
Like the second we started using CDs, everything was put on a CD, everything was put on Blu-ray. That was it. But I love these older consoles. They feel like these cartridges are all different.
Yep.
They're all unique. They yep. feel like keys that you put into a thing and it yep. unlocks an adventure.
Yep.
You know, yep. I love the Nintendo
intentionally
cartridge.
Different too.
Intentionally right. different. Yeah. It right, gives right. a whole like you know what a Super Nintendo
yeah.
game looks like.
Yeah, yeah.
You right. know what a Genesis right. game yeah. looks like. You know what like Game Boy mm. games look different yeah. than Game Boy Advance games. Right. Like,
but you're
know.
Saying a stack of CDs yeah. could be anything.
It's just yeah. they're all the That's same. I can't point. Like yeah. if I'm looking at Andrew's shelf right now, I can't tell what a Blu-ray is or what a 360. Game, you know, yeah. they're all the same.
Yeah.
And I miss having, like, oh, God, I just miss these different, and, like, even to an extent with the hardware, they were always doing cool new shit, like the Dreamcast with its VMU. Like, memory cards were cool.
Yeah,
everybody
they were.
Had a different kind of memory yep. card when mm-hmm. memory came, cards came out. I love the idea of having all of your JRPG adventures from PlayStation on your memory card.
Yep.
Like, I loved, like, knowing that that had, like, thousands of hours of, yep. like, your time.
It
and
made
everything on it.
It made trading games and borrowing games from friends a lot easier because the saves were there in the on the card and yeah. you could just trade the disc. But yeah it went.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, John is just tying into big time what I wanted to talk about software wise. When you said this episode was going to be called "Get Off My Lawn,"
yeah.
I instantly thought of the extinction of physical media
yeah.
and how much that sucks
yeah.
and all the things. And so I started to make a list, like all the things we're losing now that physical media, like we're losing, like lining up to pick up that brand new game and like meeting people in line.
Yeah, yeah,
we're
yeah.
losing the ease of borrowing and handing games to each other.
Yeah.
We're losing. And when you said discs, when everything switched to disc, I had the big CD disc jacket.
Oh yeah, dude, those things were sick.
Eventually though, yeah. I got such a big one. Yeah. I had one that was like three discs across.
Yeah.
And the only way to fill it, I wanted to fill that bad boy.
Yeah.
The only way to fill it was to put my games, my audio.
Yeah.
My like band, my music CDs,
but your Slipknot CDs,
my
in there.
Slipknot CDs next to the Reliant K, which is weird.
Love Reliant K,
and then my video games, and then my movies,
yeah.
all in the same disc. And the size of this sleeve was so big,
yeah,
it didn't fit in my backpack.
It was crazy.
I had to like hand carry it. So everywhere I went in the world, I basically had this collection of all of the media that I owned.
500 CDs, yeah. yeah. Dude, it's crazy.
And I didn't realize what I was preparing myself for, but then, right around that time, a video game called Monster Rancher came okay. out for the PS1.
Okay.
And if you never played Monster Rancher, you fired it up, you started the game, then you pop the disc tray open, and you take the disc out, and the game is still running. And then you put in any CD that you have. You could put in an audio, a DVD.
Yeah.
Do you remember Monster Rancher or a video game?
Oh, man.
And it would read a code on the CD and generate a monster for you. That was then.
Oh,
it was
sick.
It was kind of like Pokemon. And they have since they tried to remake Monster Rancher for the Switch, and it's like not the same. It's like almost Pokemon now. It's like
yeah.
not the same thing.
Yeah.
But you would play through the campaign of this game with the monsters that you had from your physical disc. Collection,
so
and
sick.
Then you'd go to school and you'd be like, "How'd you beat that boss?" And you like, "Bro, Weezer, you got the Weezer disc.
Weezer.
Put the Weezer disc. Like that monster there. That you get from the Weezer disc will be like huge." And then you go to church and like someone in your youth group is like, "Did you try out that Amy Grant Christmas album? That monster you get from that album is huge.
Can't touch it.
Yeah, you can't touch it." And then you could even put other video games in there. You could put other and
yeah.
As we get away from physical media, like nothing like that will happen now.
Yeah, yeah, ever.
That is gone.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Yeah.
And so if you play, like, if you're into retro gaming and you've heard of Monster Rancher or you want to try it, it is, I think, a reason to, like, try retro gaming out. Because if
yeah.
you can find a PS1 and fired it up,
yeah.
like,
try Monster Rancher. It's so much fun to see what random. And to this day, I don't know what that software is reading on that disc to generate a monster. But it was always the same. So if you had if I did the Weezer disc and you did the Weezer disc, we'd get the same monster. There was something on the disc it was reading. But anyway, I don't know how to encapsulate that into one sentence, so I went on a rant.
No,
but it's just
perfect,
like
dude.
physical media.
The closest thing is the what's it called? What's the Nintendo statue?
Amiibo
is probably the closest thing to that.
Yeah,
I didn't do that, but I remember on Twisted Metal you could take the disc out and put another CD in that you wanted to listen to. But then until you got to the end of the level and then it was like put the disc back in.
Dude, that is I miss so much the act of switching discs on those systems, like. The feeling, and we've talked about this a billion times, but I can't not bring it up. The feeling you get changing the disc on a Final Fantasy game on a PlayStation 1 is just a euphoria that you can't imagine.
It's, like, it's crazy.
You've hit, not only are you at a safe point, you are at a crucial part
it's a,
of
you're
the
at a cliffhanger.
Story.
Yeah.
Like, you are like, I have got to put this shit in right now. Always end on the best notes.
You would never, no one in history ever got to the screen of put in Final Fantasy VII, put in Disc 3.
Yeah.
No one got to that screen and was like, all right, I'm done for the day, and like walked away. No one, that's never
unless
a thing.
Unless your brother fucking lost it.
Is horrible.
Yeah.
That is also the worst nightmare
of all
time. Do you
have all five Final Fantasy VII discs before you start it?
I have everything over there. But yes, no, I know what you're saying. You're right, Nathan. Like, you just will never.
There'll never be anything like Monster Rancher ever again. And I'll tell you right now, don't know. Like, if you have a Switch, don't even get it on the Switch.
Oh,
because
no.
that type of game, just get Pokemon now.
Yeah,
it's just.
Well, and that's also a good point. I don't know if you really have anything to say. I guess we're kind of just all melding. But that throws us right into hype, right? And
Hang on. What's your software?
Well, my software thing is just, I was going to talk about, I talked about how they all have their own identity as cartridges, like how they have their their individual look. That's kind of like hardware, too.
Let me do my software
one. Oh, get in there, big dog.
So, dude, this is actually like something that I have come to appreciate recently as a very particular type of game, and I've never like seen it this clearly before, but I want to call it early ridiculous 3D games.
Okay, early
so
ridiculous.
It's like,
okay,
they began in 2000 and they ended probably in 2010. I don't know if y'all know
I
what I'm talking about.
I weirdly know exactly this genre. Like, it's
like the jank. Yeah, yeah.
So maybe you're thinking. I didn't play Nintendo, but like, so Red Faction, Just Cause, Crackdown.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of other games like this. It's like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
but there's also like zero hand-holding, and I have come to appreciate recently just games that are fucking like, you know what you're doing here.
Yeah.
You don't need a story. Just fucking go do it.
You're playing a video game.
Yeah.
Go
you're
jump
playing
around.
A video game.
Yeah,
go
blow
some shit. Dude, and I had never played Crackdown until recently, and the game, there's like a 5-second cutscene that's like, hey, agent, you're like, go kill the bad guys. And then it's just like, go. And oddly, it works.
It's
in the
enough.
Game, and there's like zero hand-holding the rest of the game. You just know what to do.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
maybe
a voice that tells you like, hey, agent, pick up green power orbs and you'll be a badass, blah, blah, blah. But like, the best way to explain it is there's nothing linear about it. All you know for each level is you need to kill a boss, and they're inside of a different kind of structure.
So
you have the tools at the very beginning of the game to beat this entire game and do everything about it.
Cool.
And so I'm thinking like Zelda or something, but these early ridiculous 3D games that are just like you can jump really high. You can come at problems from every angle.
Yeah.
And I miss those games. I don't like tutorials. I just want a game to just be like zero hand-holding. Throw me into the action. Let me do it. Give me minimal tools to solve the problems. And like,
have you heard of FromSoft?
Yeah.
I
Speechless.
I'm gonna. I have some shade to throw at Dark Souls 2 on the. All right. I have some cheese.
Yeah.
I have some Dark Souls cheese. Sure. Later.
Yeah.
It's. Dark Souls just like. Can I jump? Can I climb up a building in Dark Souls though? Like.
Yeah. You know, no, that's true.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
I just was being obnoxious because you were like, I love the no hand holding, and you that's know, what they.
When the game is interesting, Dark Souls isn't an interesting game, Thomas.
Okay.
So. No, I'm just kidding.
Suck it, Thomas.
That's what happens when you don't show up, Thomas. Dark Souls is not an interesting game.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That is well said. Okay. Not that I don't think it's an interesting game.
See, this is why I will always be here.
Yeah.
This is why I will never miss.
You can't miss.
I don't want to get dunked on.
Andrew is our rock. He will never be on a poster. He is never getting dunked on. Another thing about software that I just want to bring up real quick. I actually just now forgot. You brought it up. I had a really good point, but now I can't remember it.
This is great radio.
Yeah, I will...
moving on to hype?
Yeah, I'm just going to segue right into hype then. You know, it's just with the differences in hardware and the way that software is utilized, I feel like the way we get excited and the way we approach gaming now as fans, as an enthusiast, that's completely changed.
Yes.
And like you both have brought up great points that I was going to talk about. One, just the discovery of games, of new games, is so different now.
Yeah.
We have, and maybe it's because we're adults and back then we were kids, but even kids now, I feel like you have so many resources to know what to get excited about so far ahead of time.
Yeah.
Like, you almost know in this day and age, if you play a game and it's good, it's probably going to get a sequel. Like, almost without a doubt, if there's, like, a game that you love and if it makes enough money and it's big, you know it's going to get a sequel. And, or if you're going to know, like, your favorite developers and what they're working on so far ahead of time.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The last little bit of mystery and excitement we had was E3 and hearing big unknown announcements.
E3.
And if Jeff Keighley doesn't keep it going, like, if we don't have surprises and stuff, like, it can make it boring. And, like, we need surprise. And when Andrew was talking about going to the video store and, like, looking through the libraries of which game to rent, that was always surprising. Like, you always had, like, 15 minutes, and you were making crazy judgments on games. You're like, all right, this cover picture is cool. Mm-hmm. I like the back, what they said on the back of it. It's down to these three games. I've never heard of these games before.
We
didn't have the internet. Mm-hmm. Like, I maybe remember this one from Nintendo Power or GamePro.
Yep.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. There was so much mystery out there, and you got to, like, find your, like, favorite games of all time by just, like, not knowing anything about it.
Yeah.
You know?
And games journalism was your buddies at school who are trying out different games from you.
100%.
And shout out to the industry for surviving on word of mouth, like, through that time period.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they did.
Yeah.
They totally survived through word of mouth. But I think with hype, and this is with everything now, you know, the internet has made everything hyped way out of proportion, almost to the point where the opposite effect has happened. I'm curious now with, like, new AAA games, there's a certain amount of hype you want because that's good.
Yeah.
But then the hype gets to a point where you're like, guys, this isn't, like, you're all like there's going to be some disappointment.
Right.
And I wonder if, like, community managers or something are almost, like, worried about a certain amount, like, too much hype.
It can still work. We've seen it work. The Elden Ring hype was out of control.
Yeah.
And that game
and it lived
completely
up to
delivered.
They are tracking right now in sales. They're tracking about even with the release of the new Animal Crossing game.
It's crazy.
That's insane,
yeah. Dude. And it's just like, again, it's just, there are different aspects of it. Like, we no longer have midnight releases where you go line up and just, like, you, like, that culmination of waiting for that new game to come out and then having that big experience to be the cherry on top of it. Like, Halo 2 release, amazing, mm-hmm. dude. That was, like, the biggest physical release of all time at that point.
Yep.
Like, those kind of things, we're just going to, you know, they're just going to go away. And it's just like, we look at I'm not saying that hype can't be good, but it'll just, it will get off my lawn. It will never, like, digitally preloading a game on your PlayStation, on your Xbox, and then playing it at midnight will never be the same as bringing home a physical disc when you were just at a GameStop or a mall or something and bringing that home and playing that till like 3 o'clock in the morning. That will never
be
touched. Well, dude, I think on the positive side of things, though, it's like so many more people are playing video games
now than
like 20 years ago. So like,
we're in a good place.
Oh, yeah, we're in a good place, but it was like, it was smaller budgets. I was thinking of like, do you remember back when games, when the art for games did not represent what the game was like?
Do
you remember ads with like a scene of like a soldier and like a bunch of, like a photo, and it was like, hey, play this pixelated, crappy looking game. Here's the photo that's the art for the game.
It was so good. And I miss weird, obscure titles. Like, if you go back and you start doing kind of like retro collecting and stuff, like, these franchises or these games that are like beloved by the community that like never got another release anywhere or anything, those games are so expensive, dude. Like,
what games?
Like, you know, there's like, for Sega Saturn, there's a platformer called Astral, and it's like never got anything, but it was a solid platformer. Like, for the Sega CD, there's this game called, God, what is it called? It's called like Popful Mail, and it's a little, it was by a developer called Working Designs, and it was just a fun platformer slash, it almost had like a level select screen, kind of like Mario 3, where you kind of like dooped around the dots, and then you would go into a level and platform, but you met new characters, and I'm playing it right now, and that game is the most expensive game I've ever seen in my life. It's like, if it's complete in box and in good condition,
it looks fucking dope.
It's like $4,000.
Dude, another thing you're...
$4,000.
Another thing I miss is developers having normal names. Yeah. Like you said, the developer was Working Designs, and now developers are like Insomniac.
Yeah,
and like a developer will be named like
Gorilla Games,
or like Naughty Dog. When did that happen? When did we have to have name?
We just need a dude to name a studio after himself, like Kojima Productions.
Yes,
thank you.
Yes,
thank you. That, period.
Now that's top tier
software.
That's top.
This from software. Oh, just so ridiculous.
Oh, dude, I didn't even think about this. Talking about big swings in games, like,
okay,
just as far as like, do y'all remember, dude, why is it that like with less money and smaller budgets 20 years ago, like, games were more varied and more interesting and more different?
The risk.
Yeah, and it's and it took them, like, it makes people more creative.
Yes.
Like, I can't even think of it right
game,
now.
Games are huge risks now because of how much money they take.
Yeah.
So you have to bet safer. But, I mean, dude, look at AAA titles. AAA titles are now more often continuations of established series.
Sure.
Like, when was the last huge top tier AAA title that was fully brand new? I mean, Death Stranding, I don't know, when
100%.
When was the last one? And it's something that, like, as people, because you've seen this pop up now too, this kind of fits into John's episode, but like, is the big huge AAA game, like, is it kind of doomed? Because the money to make it,
that's why
getting
games
astronomical.
As a service is huge. That's why Bungie that's why they did Destiny. Like, Destiny just never ends. They can just keep working on it.
Yeah.
And they like don't have to, they never have a development cycle where they have to start over. Like, they had to do that with Destiny 2 because, again, they put the original PlayStation.
Or your game, Boyfriend Dungeon, that never ends. That he's having new stories.
Oh yeah,
the dating sim that you played.
Yeah, that. Oh my god, dude, that mobile game. I can't even.
Sorry to interrupt. I just
had to get that. You know what sucks is that the part of me, I've never deleted that because there's a chapter that I haven't done yet. I literally have to do is click through it.
I got to see what happens.
Yeah, I just got to see what happens.
Will they, won't they?
Yeah, it's awful. But
I mean, so you could say that, like, okay, indie games are doing quite interesting things, but I do think you're right. The AAA game is doomed because it's just like, I mean, okay. I feel like Sony took a gamble with Deathloop, which I was replaying recently, and it is, it's weird, and I really liked it, but it's also like, it doesn't feel like a finished game. It's more like a really cool concept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like, but you're right. Like what is the last AAA game? I mean, people have taken swings in shitty ways.
Yeah,
Anthem, let's make a game filled with microtransaction that doesn't have a story and is trash.
But they haven't
taken swings in like risky ways that could lose them money.
Well, it's like and like speaking of Anthem, like Anthem is a game where they were trying to make their own they're trying to make their own golden goose. They're trying to make a game like Destiny that never ended. And like that's hard to do. Like that is a huge gamble, because if that doesn't pay off, like you have invested a ton of resources into that.
Yeah.
And you know, to your point too, like everything's a sequel. If you're going to spend all this money on these games, like you have to make sure that A, the audience is already there to buy it.
Yep.
Like no matter how bad it is, like there are going to be fans. No matter how much you think God of War sucks, God of War Ragnarok is going to sell a shit ton of copies.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because
there's just people there for it. And that's the same reason that they do. That's the same reason that FIFA and Call of Duty make the most money every year.
Yep.
It's just because people are not like us. You know, they don't care about pushing the industry as a whole forward and getting new concepts. People want to come home at the end of the day. They want to kill people in Call of Duty, or they want to shoot soccer goals.
Yeah.
People are plebs, just want to do it. They don't understand Strand
plebs.
Games.
That's right. They don't understand plebs. Social Strand Games.
Social Strand Games.
Why do you guys not care about the Strand Game structure? Don't you see how this could be so beneficial to you guys? Jesus.
But it's interesting that like Anthem was a complete failure, and it's like EA, with that money, y'all could have tried something new.
Sure.
So it's like it was risky.
Yeah.
Like y'all were just being shitty and selfish and trying to make a microtransaction game. And it's like you could have actually taken an interesting risk and had something huge.
You know what? If Anthem came out today, I wonder if it would be more accepted.
I don't know. It'd still be lost in a sea.
It's not good. I beat the whole thing, and it's not a good game.
Yeah, okay.
it's not
good. Dude, the polish?
Yeah.
There's something about, though, playing a game like that where it's like, ooh.
I'm having fun.
Yeah.
Sometimes polish is like all you want. It's like, when that rocket takes off. And when you shoot guys, it feels good. When you take
You shoot guys, it feels good.
It really does.
That's like 90% of gaming.
Yeah.
I love shooting a dude, making
it feel
good.
The game just sucks. The game's so bad.
You know, and you look in it, and I guess, I'm about to throw to Nathan for the May episode, but I just want to say that, you know, as everything in a whole, when you combine hype and hardware and software back in the day and you give them all their due, you get very interesting titles, to Andrew's point.
Yep.
I think of something that all comes together like that. I think of like Seaman on the Dreamcast.
Yep.
You'll never get something like that again.
Yep.
Seaman is a virtual pet simulator. They use the hardware in the controller with a peripheral and a microphone, and you just talked to a fish that you grew up that had the face of a dude.
Yep.
And like, this game is beloved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you'll never see games like that anymore.
Yeah,
nobody will do that shit. Nobody's paying Corey Barlog
$300
million to go make some kind of new kind of fun experience
To your point, what indie game is undiscovered because it's like Sega Saturn released like four or five games that year. So everybody ended up playing Seaman, realizing Seaman is awesome. It's so original.
Yeah.
What tiny little indie studio
what
is releasing something that's as interesting as Seaman, but it's not in front of as many people because it doesn't have such of a big release.
It's super hard.
So
Yeah. All right, big dog. That was the Get Off My Lawn episode. If you guys have any more just general complaints about game these days, hit us
come,
up on our
come
Twitter.
Yell it, come yell at clouds with us.
Please,
we're gonna grab
come
our,
yell at clouds
we're
with
gonna,
us.
We're going to grab our walkers.
Yeah.
I've got Metamucil on tap for us.
What are the drinks?
Metamucil on draft.
God, it's not Slim Fast. I can't think of the drinks that you drink. The
Ensure.
Ensure, yeah.
Ensure. And that was it. That was a great time in our adult diapers. So our May episodes.
Talk to me.
We're going to have two May episodes. The first one is, March, April, and May are typically considered kind of slow times in the gaming industry.
Okay.
There's not a lot of news.
Okay.
There's not a lot of announcements. There's not a lot of projects.
Okay.
Everyone that is making games is kind of hunkered down through these 3 months.
Okay.
Then you typically have a festival season that begins in early summer. It used to begin with E3.
That's right.
And now it'll begin with Summer Games Fest. That'll go into Gamescom and Tokyo Game Show.
Okay.
And then we will have a flurry of just crazy amounts of news coming at us.
Yeah, we're going to get like.
So we're going to do a pre-festival episode.
Okay.
We're going to talk about what we're looking forward to out of these events, okay. Announcements, just the vibes of the things.
Yeah.
And as we look at the back half of the year, what are we going to start getting excited for now?
Okay.
So that'll be a festival episode. Then if you guys listen back in January, our other main episode is going to be our trilogies quiz. We're going to do a trilogies quiz because we did a sequels quiz in January.
Yeah,
so
be great, dude.
Stay tuned for the trilogies quiz. Trilogies. It's going to be one of my quiz episodes. It's all going to be based on games that ended up with a third title all the way through.
Wow, dude. That's
and,
awesome.
And
it's the Tokyo Drift of the splash damage
which
quiz
is,
episode.
Which is maybe the best Fast and Furious.
Somebody at work the other day tried to tell me that was the worst Fast Furious, and I'm like, you don't get what this is about, do you?
You don't
understand. Like, they're too much now. This was the beginning of the craziness, and it was perfect.
Yes. No, you're right. Tokyo Drift launched the let's get insane.
Let's just we have no more credibility.
Let's
just go do drifts in Tokyo.
Yeah. Also, from this movie, we're gonna have a series that goes out to 10 movies.
Yeah.
So thank you, Tokyo
Your
Drift.
Your girl Brie Larson just joined the cast for the new one. So
yeah,
we'll
she's
see
my
what
favorite.
Happens with that.
All right.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining
Bye.
Us. And we'll catch you guys next month.
Peace.